Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep watch. Be ready. We hear these words frequently about this time of year, especially as we follow the readings of the church year, those that are kind of assigned for each of the calendar days of the church year. We come to the month of November, and as I mentioned earlier, November looks forward to the return of King Jesus and the life of the age to come. So Jesus will say in places like Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, be ready, keep watch. I see it as a key role of my calling as pastor of this congregation to help ensure that you are ready for the return of King Jesus. As parents or as grandparents, our roles, first and foremost, are to ensure that the people entrusted to our care have every opportunity to be ready for the return of King Jesus. It's not a matter of time. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. We understand that as Christians. We've heard the news. And so, we're called to be ready to help others to be the same. The question becomes, what does readiness actually look like in terms of preparing for the return of our King and the renewal of all things? Is it like preparing a house for Thanksgiving or Christmas as you have relatives coming your way? Is it about trying to predict when Jesus will return, trying to read the signs of the times and predicting a date? Or does readiness consist in something else altogether? Today, King Jesus, through his word, will give his followers some clarity as to what being ready is all about. And the words that we hear today in Matthew 25 are not in a vacuum. In Matthew 24, we hear immediately before this that Jesus is telling the story of a master who entrusts his property, his household, to a servant. He goes away on a journey. He says, take care of this while I'm gone and I will return. What causes the servant to be commended at the return of the master? He's doing what the master gave him to do. After this, the words that we'll hear next week in the gospel, the focus of the sermon next week, will be about, a master entrusting his goods to servants. This time it'll be money, and he goes away on a journey. What will cause them to be commended by their master upon his return? Again, simply being faithful with that which was entrusted to them while he was away. In between these two stories, we have today's gospel reading of 10 girls, a parable. These 10 girls are waiting for the torchlit processional that they are going to participate in with a bridegroom. We're told, Jesus says, 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. 5 are prudent. What's the difference? Well, 5 bring extra oil in flasks for their torches and 5 do not. Now I use the word torches because this word that shows up that we have translated as lamps in Greek often refers to kind of portable torches that you'd carry outside for a procession. Those torches were used, for example, when the crowds came out to arrest Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. What we know about them, essentially it's a stick with some rags, and those rags are dipped in oil. The oil is the fuel for those torches. Now, they were great for the portable procession. They put off a lot of light. However, they only lasted for a little bit more than 15 minutes. And so, if you're going to be needing those torches for any length of time, you needed to bring extra fuel with you. 5 understand this. The other 5 assume that evidently the bridegroom is going to arrive in the next 5 minutes. We're going to be done with our processional in 10, and we'll be on our merry way. They bring no extra oil with them. Story goes on, and the bridegroom does not arrive in the next 5 minutes. We're told he delays. There's not a reason given for the delay, but night drags on. All of the girls become drowsy. They fall asleep. Until the cry rings out through the night. The delay is over. The bridegroom is coming. It's time for the celebration to begin. Come out, bring your lights, and fulfill the appointed purpose for this celebration. Problem for five, however, is that they have no fuel. They light their torches, but the light does not last. In our time, we can imagine maybe some flashlights, and you brought them with you, and you thought they were going to work, but you flip them on, and at best, you get like a little flicker, and then it goes out. And these girls are panicking and saying to themselves, "Oh my goodness, we've blown it. We need oil. Please give us some." The wise girls say, there may not be enough for both us and you. You have to go find some oil somewhere else." And of course, they go out and try to buy some. The bridegroom arrives. The wise girls go with him into the wedding feast. And the foolish ones are missing at exactly the worst possible time. And so Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells you and me, be on the alert. For you do not know the day or the hour. In light of the story Jesus told, what does readiness actually look like? What does it mean to be ready for the return of Jesus? Now, there are places in the Gospels, for example, in Mark, where he'll use that language of stay awake and keep watch to refer to kind of like the role of a watchman on the tower looking for the return. That's not the sense that seems to be the case here in Matthew. Because after all of the girls, the wise and the foolish, all fall asleep. They all fall asleep. And so it seems the focus is not so much on whether I've had my eyes glued on the road or not for the return of the king. The focus seems to be, when that moment comes, do I have what is necessary to fulfill my calling then and there, the purpose for which God has made me and brought me to this moment? Yes, all the girls fall asleep, but when the cry rings out and they are roused from their slumber, five are ready. They know what their role is. Their role is to bring the light, to provide the light for the procession, and they have exactly what they need. They have the oil at their disposal to make that happen. If you're a bridesmaid or groomsmen at a wedding, there's a lot of things that you can do in preparation for that day. There's a lot of fun that you can have. But when that wedding day comes, you better show up with a dress on, or for the guys, with a tux or a suit on, with a bouquet for the ladies. You better be there ready to fulfill the purpose that you've been given for the day. And I believe that's what Jesus is telling us to do. So what's the role? What's the calling for which God made us? When the ultimate bridegroom, King Jesus, returns in glory, what are we meant to do? Well, I think we get some answers from other places in the Scriptures. For example, there's a song in Revelation 5. The crowds gathered around the throne of God and of the Lamb sing a song. And I believe that song gives us a clue as to what God has made us for, what we are to be prepared to do upon the arrival of our King. This comes from Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. The crowd sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lamb, to take the book, to break its seals, for you, Jesus, were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." This is the reason for which God made you. This is the reason for which God, through the blood of His Son, redeemed you, to make us a kingdom and priests to our God, that we might reign with Christ. St. Peter will use similar language in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, when he says that we are a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. As people made in the image of God, we are royal. And we will have the role of reigning alongside Christ forever and ever. As people who bear God's image, we are also a priesthood. We have the opportunity, as the key centerpieces of creation, to lift up the praises of creation to our Creator, our Redeemer, our King. This is what we were made for. And this is what we will spring into action and do on the day of our Lord's return. So what must we possess in order to be ready to carry out those callings today and ultimately in their fullness on the day of His return? What do we need? Heard it in the children's message. It's faith. We hear it, for example, in Romans 1, verse 17. St. Paul talks about this righteousness that comes by the gospel. And it's not something that we must earn for ourselves. It's something that we receive. And what receives the righteousness that God desires to give you and me for Jesus' sake? It's faith. St. Paul will echo Habakkuk and say, the righteous will live by faith. We hear in John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, will not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus will say about Himself in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Paul will say in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. And such faith is what God desires to give you by the power of His Spirit. And it's a faith that readies you for the return of Jesus, our King, to receive Him and to spring into action, doing what He has made us and redeemed us for in Christ. And it's not something that we scramble to develop in our lives at the last minute, like you might be doing if you're preparing your house for the holiday season, scrambling, the relatives are coming over, quick, let's throw stuff in closets and get it out of sight. That's not the way faith formation works. It's something that is nurtured and grown and established over time. It can't be crammed at the last minute. But as that faith is nurtured in a place like this, as that faith is grown in your home as you gather around the Word of God and share it with one another, the Spirit readies you for the return of the King, so that no matter when that might come, whether you are awake, whether you are sleeping, be it today, tomorrow, 100, 1,000 years from now, we'll be ready. A gunman can show up in this place like one did down in Texas last Sunday, and we'll be ready. Why? Because God has readied us. He's readied us through His Word. He's readied us through the gift of the sacrament. He's readied us through the consistent promises of His forgiveness and His love that we hear week after week. I belong to Him. I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm loved in life, in death, no matter what. Such faith in these promises makes us ready. He meets us in this place. He's a God who chooses in His love to ready us, to prepare us for His return, for all that He has in store for us. And so we hear the proclamation that you are forgiven for Jesus' sake, and that you are loved no matter what, and that you are His in life and death. And we gather, and God works through that message to make us ready, to keep the faith alive and burning. So that when our Savior returns, when the Bridegroom shows up again in glory, we might go out with joy to meet Him and to be with Him forever. King Jesus is coming, people. Equipped with the fuel of gospel-fed faith, we will be ready. In His name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our King, our approaching Bridegroom. Amen.